Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup, everybody. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblom, here with our host, Superintendent Dr. Clarity.
Hey, Marcy, how you doing?
It is a sunny, cold day, but it's going to be one of the last coldest days of 2026.
So. I hope that to be true.
Yeah, me really too. And I'm excited because today we're joined by our Board of Education President, Jen Murphy, and she'll share her unique experience and perspectives as a Board of Education member and leader.
Hi, Marcy. Hi, Dr. Clarity. Good to be here.
Absolutely. You know, I want to welcome again everyone to In the Loop with the Soup. We're super excited to be here today with our Board of Education President, Ms. Jen Murphy. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got to talk a little bit yesterday and the last 2 days on the phone because we were coming off a snow day. And there's a lot of collaboration and moving parts that comes up with that.
Great. Appreciation to you and your team for all of the conversations and often early mornings you spend in dialogue around those scenarios.
Absolutely. I think I guess we got some feedback that it was we were able to call it early and get it out there, you know, to help parents and families do that. But that's just like an inkling of the things that we think about, you know, when they come up. And shout out to Marcy for getting everything out really fast. I think you jumped off of a horse to take care of that.
I did. Yes, I did get my ride in during the rain and the cold, but got that in and then, ran home and got the district shut down.
Absolutely.
Just an average Sunday for you.
Right, yes.
Average Sunday. People always, you know, talk to me about days off and I just laugh. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
But we definitely are glad to have you here today, and we really want to talk about just you, the great leader that you are, your role as a Board of Education President. And, you know, you've had a outstanding career across multiple areas of education. You know, you're a proud parent, also a business owner in the yoga industry. So I don't know if there's enough hats to describe you and things that are going on. But really, if you could just kind of go back as far as you want to go. And I always say you can go back to last Tuesday or go until, you know, you're 2 years old, whichever one works for you.
Sure.
You know, what brought you to be here in front of us? As a board president, but that journey through education.
Sure. Well, with podcasts, this is like the space to be truthful, right?
Absolutely.
Because in all honesty, coming to the board, I think was sort of serendipitous or a coincidence, truly.
Yeah.
Because I had been serving as an educator in the district up until the school year that a board seat opened up.
Wow.
And so just the shift that I took professionally to go to UW-Madison at that time to help support pre-service teachers, the timing of then having a board seat open, I was approached and it felt like another opportunity to give back to the district that I've spent my entire professional career here. So it really felt like an opportunity to continue to serve and give gratitude to all of my mentors. I mean, my professional trajectory, I owe to this school district. And
absolutely.
So if this can be another way that I can get the blessing to serve when I'm outside of the classroom, it seemed like a fabulous opportunity. And I'm humbled to be in this role every day.
And we're so glad that you are in the role that you are in. And what year did you start in Roane Area School District?
1998,
excellent. And who's your hiring principal?
Kelly Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I was hired mid-year for a mid-year retirement because
okay.
I happened to be a December graduate at UW-Madison.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, really wild to think back.
It was always Savannah Oaks?
I was hired at the high school.
The high school first.
Yeah. Okay. And back at that time, educators can maybe appreciate this. I mean, I think I was applying with dozens and dozens
absolutely.
Of other people. And to think that I got plucked out of probably an amazing cohort of applicants as a brand new teacher. So incredibly grateful.
Excellent. And so as you think about your experiences, it's allowed you to have broad perspectives around multiple backgrounds, and you bring that into your leadership as board president. So can you kind of contextualize and bring it all together? Like how do those perspectives that in your experiences allow you to be the leader of our board, and how do those two worlds come together?
I think ironically, the response is almost within the question.
Yeah.
Because I know I come to a board seat with multiple perspectives. It's a reminder that I am one perspective.
Yeah.
So how do I attempt to serve on behalf of our entire school community and not just focus in on what I know and understand from my lived experiences? And having dabbled across education, I think, again, it's such an interesting reminder of what it means to serve as a board member. And this, I think, kind of bleeds into our next question that we may talk about. But just letting educational professionals thrive in our district. And so how can I take the experiences I've had and from this vantage point ensure that we have a space where all of our students, our staff can thrive and give their best every single day?
That's an outstanding response and just who you are. we love that about you. And so as we think about your connection within the community, I can't imagine you can walk many spaces without the wave, you know, hi, Ms. Murphy, you know.
Mm-hmm. My family plays the over-under game when we go out places, yes.
So talk to me about how do you navigate those spaces as well?
I first like to tell people, you know, I was born and raised in the area. So really, you know, I'm soon to be whatever age I'm going to be if you've started to calculate what year I graduated from college. That if I didn't know a lot of people, that would be a sad testament just given the roles and the amazing things I've been able to do professionally and otherwise. And again, it's just with such grace and gratitude that people are willing, former students, to say hi out in spaces, feeling as though hopefully the things I'm attempting to do in service of others is coming back, just in the humble way that people will meet and greet and chat and share their lived experiences. And that becomes another informal way that I can gain information that hopefully helps us do our role as board members.
Excellent. And why education? Why was that the passion?
Because engineering looked really awful. Again, truth telling. Yeah. I started in engineering and it seemed really not very social.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always had a passion for my content area, which was mathematics.
Absolutely.
People I know from my childhood said it was always going to be teaching, but I think I just didn't really realize it at the time.
Because, engineering is like, until you get in there, it's like kind of like stale a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I can be stale too.
No.
But maybe not professional.
I don't know. There's not a human that would call you stale. Absolutely not.
All right.
So I've had the honor of watching you present and also co-presenting with you in a couple of occasions in larger or smaller settings. And you bring so much energy into the space. And you can just see the real passion. You can tell when someone's putting on a show and when somebody's just really passionate about what they're saying. So what drives that passion and that spirit that you bring to everything that you do, and especially in those presentation modes?
I love being in spaces to share and learn. So no matter what the content, just what an amazing thing to do, right? As educators, as people that learn from one another. Yeah. So even when I'm in presenting or facilitating mode, I see it as an opportunity to be a co-learner, just to share my experiences and take from others. So it just feels like such a gift to be able to be in spaces like that. And that's the energy that I get is from co-presenters, from just the privilege of being able to be in that spot and knowing that I'm going to take away as much, if not more, than what I offer to others.
The number of people that walk up to me that haven't had the honor to meet you yet, they're like, your board president, she's highly spirited. She's passionate about her work. It's like, it really drives, you know, that everyone wants to match that energy. And like, we don't believe in low days in Roaring School District. And so that's really something that I want to say thank you for. And I know the number of people that you presented in front of all, you know, whether they share it verbally to you or just kind of take it away in those spaces, that's meaningful. And we all learn something. And so thank you for that. In terms of, and I get this question, I think it's, I always say when I get the question, I say, I think you watch too much TV. when I get the question about Board of Education and superintendent relationships,
right?
And I also understand that I can speak about the Verona Area School District and our setting and what this means and the strong partnership and the appreciation I have for the full seven and us working together as a collective of eight and making sure that we are serving the public authentically. But from your lens, how do you think about the Board of Education president relationship with the superintendent, and you know, and how does that permeate throughout the rest of the board based off what you model?
Mm-hmm. I will add, when people learn that I serve on a school board, I think their first thought is, oh my gosh, it must be just awful or stressful, or right, just the context again of what I think our culture is currently elevating about the work that we do in education. I think a piece just to elevate again on behalf of just the board relationship with you as superintendent is just the clear roles.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that often gets blurred in districts, even that have the intention of trying to have that clarity. It's a really complex set of work that we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
But I think I've shared this before, because I come from education, it's even more a reminder that that is not my role as a board member.
Yeah.
It's a hat and experience that I can carry, but it is my job to delegate to all of you as educational professionals to do what you are experts at doing, and that board members don't get in the way of that.
Correct.
Alongside that, I'm so appreciative, as you've described, that we're really a collaborative group of eight, where you and I have sometimes an added touch point of just how do we still share and brainstorm together, knowing that I'm going to let you do what you do. I'm going to hold you accountable for that.
Absolutely.
So it's not my job to tell you what to do, but that we can brainstorm and collaborate because we have various perspectives. And I'm so appreciative that we can do that with some clear understanding of how we move forward after dialogue.
Absolutely. And I love it. I'm glad that you put it into the space first, because the second question I get is like, well, you know, I often hear your board talk about accountability. I'm like, does that bother you? I'm like, why in the heck would that bother me? And I said, can you imagine the alternative? If a board of education did not want to hold me accountable, that basically that's telling me they don't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you don't want to hold me accountable for the services action, and the superintendent is the lone employee of the board, and their function is to ensure that the policies that the board have written come to fruition, that staff and students are treated with the utmost respect and placing the ability to thrive, and I'm upholding the integrity of the district. So after I've named all those, why wouldn't I want to be held accountable mm-hmm. for that level of responsibility? So just in your minds, did you ever get questions about the accountability piece, or like how do we help our public understand that that is what you want in a board and superintendent relationship?
Well, and in a superintendent. I mean, the fact that you just elevated your desire to be held accountable, I still want to elevate as being amazing. And I hope in the way that we talk about accountability that it's not meant to be punitive.
Yeah.
So I think that's really a key piece of this is we're all here to serve students.
Absolutely.
We all want to see students thrive to the best of their ability in our schools and our school system. And so the way that we hold each other accountable is trying to show up the best for our kids.
Absolutely.
And that feels really authentic and the whole purpose of all of this work. And it's not meant to be a gotcha. We talk really openly and honestly about data in support of our staff and support of our ed leaders, knowing that we're all trying to change outcomes for kids. So it feels, accountability feels like measuring success and really taking time to acknowledge the amazing things happening here with the concept that we're all trying to grow and improve.
Absolutely. And I think there's a time in this conversation, we'll talk a little bit more about governance later, but there are policies in place around the expectation that we, of the relationship that the board and superintendent have, you know, with one another. So I think the, as you mentioned, sometimes there's best intentions of what those work, how they work, but I think just the authenticity of being able to have similar expectations and similar understanding that we are working on behalf of students, that everyone, the board and the superintendent, are service-based leaders,
mm-hmm.
And that we serve others. And I think that's sometimes where the disconnect can happen if those values begin to not be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't, I don't think it should be contentious, and definitely not contentious. But I just smile and I just crack up every time I hear that question. And like, yeah, that's fine. Like, yeah, it's the way it should work.
Right.
It's the way that that organizations should be able to run smooth, because we're all working in service of others.
Right.
Yeah.
And the flip of that interesting narrative, which we've talked about as board members too, is depending on people's experiences, even within our own district, that if we're not, as boards, making operational decisions, we're not doing our role.
Yeah.
So it really is a clear understanding of it is your job to run our school district, and it's really, and like you mentioned, we may talk more about this, because it's a really important topic for the community to understand that we're providing kind of the guardrails
or
the philosophical approaches about how we want to see that done.
Absolutely. So as part of both the board and my role as superintendent, and I am blessed to be able to expand our say impact past the Brown Area School District. We've worked in advocacy on the state and sometimes national level. Can you talk a little bit more about the advocacy piece and how that role of a board member expands beyond supporting just the Roanoke Area School District, but public education in general.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something that I've been thinking a lot about with the advocacy piece is education. We've been really doing a lot as a board, and thanks to your administrative team, to just try to help educate the community. Public education is really complex, especially in our state. When it comes to finances, it's a very complex structure and system. So how can we also be stewards of education to help people know and understand the nuances of some of the things that impact every single one of us in any community, regardless of whether you have students in school? So that's something I'm taking as a focus area, that advocacy also means just helping one another understand so we can make better decisions collectively as a community, knowing what is at stake and how things really function in our school system.
Absolutely. And I love that we have taken the approach that because it is sometimes a state or sometimes a federal decision, we don't just wash to the side and say, well, there's nothing that we can do about that. While we put our resources and make sure that our time in the Roanoke School District is held to a high level, I think it's important that those things that are, you could say, can be outside our locus of control, we still try to impact to make sure that they do become our locus of control and more positively impact our students. So just looking at it from that perspective and understanding, like, just we can't just wash it away. Mm-hmm. We have to advocate and we have to push for what's right, because sometimes there are laws and ways of working that are not in alignment with our way of working, and let's make it so.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, sticking to our values in times of stress and trouble.
So I wanted to bring governance into this part of the conversation, if you don't mind. But you've also had the opportunity to collaborate with school boards and district leaders from other districts. You presented at the state conference. And we have a governance model that's now 4 years, a little less than 4 years into play.
Mm-hmm.
Year five, but
right. I say four complete.
Four complete work is about 4 years into it. So can you talk about how our governance model impacts the board's work here, and also how you have helped other leaders in other spaces understand the power of, as you mentioned, those clear roles of who does what and how governance supports that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's been a part of it, of even just sharing our story, even having the story and having been a part of the shift of really creating this model that we have right now and how to create these roles and this governance structure. And again, opportunities to learn from others. We've learned in education to not reinvent the wheel. So if there's things other districts are doing, it's such an amazing opportunity to share with others, to hear perspectives in other districts. But I think the piece that I am most excited about in sharing about work we're doing here is within this governance structure, again, still trying to be innovative. You've heard me already mention about the impact of trying to have our educators and leaders still be able to innovate and do the amazing things that they all can do. And our board trying to be innovative about what do we talk about when we talk about student results? How do we measure what student success really is in our district, and trying to step beyond just the traditional bounds of standardized testing? That was some of the things that we talked about when we presented at the state conference. Absolutely. Of just what does it mean to hold a district to a high level of accountability for student success? How do you measure that in a really broad sweeping way? Correct. So that's something that really excites me about how we work within our structure of expecting you to bring success for our learners, but to talk about that story in a really wide and valuable way.
Excellent. I love the way you said that. Sometimes you get a response and you don't say anything else because you just mess it up.
Yep, mic drop.
Is that a mic drop?
Yeah, okay. That was
but don't drop these mics.
Absolutely. It's mic drop moments.
Noted.
So I'm not going to say beyond education, because yoga is education.
I agree.
So in addition to your work as a board president and your continued advocacy in broader aspects of education, you became a yoga teacher in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And can you talk about how the lessons from yoga and things like balance, mindfulness, or perspective influence approach your leadership and service on the board?
I mean, I don't want to be cliche, but the balance piece is so obvious, right? I mean, you can talk about that physically on the yoga mat, but like working that balance as a board member about all the voices.
Absolutely.
We're representing our greater school community. So I feel that kind of every day of trying to strike that balance of recognizing all the perspectives and the values that people are bringing and hoping that we can consider at the board table and in our district. I also have learned through yoga grace, giving grace to yourself. And admittedly, I have to do that, I think, as board president. I've never been a board president before, so I'm trying to give myself grace and to be vulnerable as a leader, which has always been an attribute I've admired in other leaders, willing to say, I don't know, I'm learning this with you. So I feel like I'm trying to embody that as well as a as an educational leader. And then I joke often with my participants that it's called yoga practice, not yoga perfect, for a reason of just continuing, showing up. Just keep showing up. We talk about that as well. Keep showing up to your mat, making that time for yourself. Keep showing up to do this work, which you all do. I'm so grateful for our educators that show up every day to give their best to our scholars who show up every day to school. We just model that hopefully at the board table. We keep showing up as well.
Excellent. And when my mom hears me say this part on the mic, she, you know, she, I think she's our biggest Texas listener. I'm now 2.5 months into yoga, and if you hear a thud in Texas, that's her falling off of her chair.
And I get to meet your mom. Yeah. She is lovely. And I can picture that right now.
Absolutely. And everything you just said just really resonates with me. And I got to give a shout out to Ms. Clement, who just kept pushing.
She stayed on you?
She stayed on me. And just like, hey, I think this will really take you to the, and I had to, what I had to do was get, I know I'm not going to be the best in the room, out of my mind. And just, once I learned to let that go, and as you said, it's not about anybody else in the room. It's about where my body's at that day and where's my mind. And once I learned to control my mind in the spaces, it's been phenomenal. You know, just phenomenal just to be able to, just the physical attributes of it, and it's, you know, just kind of pushing in the right way in that direction, but a space to let my mind go for an hour so I can come back and do the best for on behalf of our community has just been just a phenomenal transition. So I don't know for sure if I just did a yoga commercial, but my own personal experience with it.
I started doing yoga in 2001, and the reason I keep coming back is mentally and emotionally. You know, the physical part is amazing, but I guess we could just pause there because that's the power of yoga.
Absolutely. Well, I love that you're doing it, and I love just the spirit that you bring into the space. You know, I as superintendent, I work for a collective of seven, and it's just not having to have seven individual bosses is great, and just having that collective is so rewarding. And I think it works when there's significant leadership. So I definitely want to give a shout out to Meredith, who is the board president before you, who just built, built the system that we're now, and then your leadership that has allowed it to continue to grow and prosper. As Meredith would have, and she's with us. It's just Meredith set a really good structure, at least when I was here, for that to happen. So just a shout out to both of you for really building a really strong culture of board governance and partnership with the superintendent. So long way of saying thank you.
And I'll extend my gratitude to my fellow board members. Absolutely. I mean, there's absolutely no way I could be in this title of board president without the support and collaboration of the full team of seven of us.
Absolutely.
So though I carry the title, I'm incredibly appreciative to have the talents and the gifts of all the other board members that show up and do this work every day.
Excellent. So we have talked, and I can go for another 20 minutes, but we've gone our drive time already,
which we always
promise our listeners to make sure they can get to their destination and just hear a little bit about the Verona Area School District. So thank you for being a phenomenal guest today on Little Bit of the
Soup.
Thank
you for inviting me. Thanks to our listeners, and super appreciative, and again, honored to be here at the table in this role.
It was awesome. Awesome conversation. And we'll turn it back to Marcy to close us up.
All right. I would also join Dr. Clarity in thanking you for being here today, Jen. And boy, talk about some healthy relationships. We talked about love of learning, role clarity, grace with ourselves and others, and accountability, all in service to our community's children. I don't think it gets much better than that or more authentic than that. So it's truly a privilege for all of us to be involved with the Verona Area School District in one way or another, and that includes you, Miss Linda Bell, listening in Texas. Dr. Clarity wouldn't be here without her. So we got to give that shout out. But that is it for today. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on In the Loop with the Soup.